Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Deeply Rooted podcast. I'm Rachel, this is Jess, and today we're going to be diving into four scrappy strategies that can give your sales the boost they need when things are slow. So I want you to grab a pen, grab a paper, and we're about to kickstart your sale.
In this episode, we're going to be talking about when business is slow, what you actually need to be focusing on to stand in your power and attract those new leads and new customers to your business.
So I think this one is obviously in the sense of visibility. Sometimes you just need to shake it up. Sometimes your audience on social or your email list can actually be a little stale. So sometimes you have to really just get in front of new audiences in order to get some fresh eyes and all of that. So two of the methods, or I guess three of the methods we're going to be talking about are going to be pitching, podcast tours, and audience borrowing. So in the sense of pitching, so Jess, I have a question for you. What is your current experience with pitching? Have you gotten back into it? I know you support a lot of clients with pitching, but you yourself, where are you at with it?
Yeah. It's so funny because when I pitch for my clients, I have there's no emotional fight within my body going on. I'm just like, la, 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 copy, paste, here you go. But when I go to send out this pitch, there's just so much emotion attached to it. And like so much of a slower process up into the fact where I'm just like, do I need to outsource this to somebody else? I really hate doing it, but I do think I need to do it like just to make sure that I'm getting the message right. But it's just so funny, right? How like so many of these sales things are so easy to do for other people, but you struggle when you try to do it for your own business.
Yeah. I think when I first started pitching, and still now, because I very curated in how I craft my pitch list, they are all dream ideal clients. And so I think when I'm pitching, I have so much expectation that I'm like, oh, they better love me. I hope they see the energy and the vibe that I'm delivering. And I put all of this pressure on a single email. And when I get no's, I'm like, bummer when I take it. So that's my current release where I'm having to understand that it's a numbers game and really remove a lot of that emotion from it and know that even if they are my ideal client and my like dreamiest of people who I would like to support, the no is still okay. I still can be fine with just letting it go. And maybe the seed that is planted with them will bubble up 6 months or a year from now.
Yeah, it's such a numbers game. It does remind me of my days in retail where we would have to sell credit cards. And one of the statistics that we would share when we were training our associates is it takes 50 no's on average to get a yes. So what we would do with them is they would you don't get that dopamine hit when you hit a no, but we would make a no tracker. So it literally have 50 no's. And every time that they talked to a client and got a no, they would at least get their mark off their like no. So it's like gamifying, which we're going to be talking about that too, but it's like gamifying and making sure that you're still having progress. The no, it doesn't even mean no. It could just mean not right now or not for me, but I know someone else. So it's just releasing that attachment to getting the yes and just viewing it as the more people you talk to, the more brand awareness that you're building ultimately for your business.
Yeah. I have a client starting in a couple of months who her initial conversation with me was maybe 4 months ago. And she said, no, I'm good with my current team, happy there. And it was like just a very no kind of thing. And I was like, that's fine. And then sure enough, a couple months later, she bubbled up and was like, actually, let's have a conversation and let's see if there's a difference. And so just knowing that no's aren't always no's, and even if they are no's, that's fine. You can move forward to a different, more aligned person. But the next topic from a perspective of getting in front of new audiences is podcast tours. So I personally have a goal to be on 10 guests or 10 podcasts as a guest in the year. So far, I've been on 3, I believe, and some have yet to be like put out there into the world, but it has been so much fun getting in front of them. And the way that I do that is the exact same pitching method that I use for new clients, which I think is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, it does take. I do a lot of podcast casting tours for my clients or have designed a lot of those process. It's really just in the follow-up game because people that you're pitching are busy. If they have a popular podcast, they're probably getting pitched a lot. So I think the number one success tactics I would say is one, personalize your pitch. Why would you be a good guest? What could you bring to their audience that's relevant to their specific audience and podcast? And then number two is make sure that you have a good system for following up. So make sure you have a tracker, make sure that you are following up. Maybe, you know, my process is following up 4 times until if they're not responsive, then I'll let them go. But usually it takes 2 or 3 outreaches to be able to get that response and that yes.
Yeah, I think that's like the most misunderstood thing when it comes to pitching is that it's not going to be the first email that gets them. It's the persistence and the follow-up that really is, okay, let me actually have a conversation with this person. I think that's one of those very powerful things is that just be persistent sometimes.
Yeah. I'm going to give a little shameless plug right here too, because I do have in my Sustainable Success System shop, a podcast guest pitching tracker and system with templates. It's got the tracker so that you can figure out like how you're following up. And it's $7, I think. So if podcast guesting is a goal of yours, then make sure that you go grab that.
Go get it like immediately, because I've seen it and it's genius. The way that Jess builds things from a systems perspective is mind-blowing.
Yeah. And it's got a one sheet in it too, which is like an interactive one sheet. And it's so cute.
Awesome. Is there anything else you want to add on audience borrowing?
I just think we talked about podcasting, and for me, that's really that appeals to me because I'm not a writer, but there are other ways that you can audience borrow. You can guest on a newsletter, you can guest blog, I know Rachel does some guest speaking as an expert in communities. If podcast doesn't really seem your vibe, like you can use that same exact process for blog posts, newsletters, guesting, that sort of thing as well.
Yes. So getting into our next scrappy strategy is really gamifying your reach. This is something that my business coach the other day had to simplify for me. And it was like, oh, that's pretty ridiculous how easy that is. And I didn't even think about that. So if my goal was at the end of the day, getting 2 new clients, reverse engineering the reach for those 2 clients with some more general conversion rates, just assuming the funnel converts at some a particular thing. So I'm going to use some rough numbers here, and Jeff's keep me honest if I'm making it confusing and help me simplify it. But if my ultimate goal is 2 new clients from a retainer perspective, I would want to book 5 sales calls. So I'm reverse engineering it. So we're working backwards here. So those 5 sales calls, I know what my conversion rate is from anytime somebody gets on a sales call with me, and I'm being very conservative, assuming these are going to be colder-ish audiences than people that reach out to me directly. So out of the 5 sales calls booked, I need 100 warm eyeballs on my services, my sales, my all of that, like my offers. Going backwards into that, there I need 10,000 views from a overall perspective. So to go forward into that, 10,000 views, 100 warm eyeballs, 5 sales calls, 2 clients, really breaking it down and removing the emotion and expectations from a single post or this or that kind of thing can really actually make it a lot easier and more analytical than emotional to approach getting new clients.
Yeah, I love this. I love this approach of gamifying it, and especially not focusing in on, because a lot of times you don't have control on like the end output goal. Like we get so focused on like revenue numbers and numbers of new clients and stuff. We really don't have a lot of control about that. But when you back it up that way with 10,000 views, and even if we're just looking at like impressions on Instagram, like you can post a Instagram reel. Okay, that one got 4,000 views. Okay, mark that off. Like now I need to do 2 more of those. And then I would hit my eyeballs on my product. So it's just figuring out like that way. The same thing goes with, I know you said your goal is like to podcast guest on 10 guests, to be a guest on 10 different podcasts. Mm-hmm. So once we're farther into this pitching process, you'll know how many shows you need to pitch to get a yes. So it's just like more working towards that way and really focusing when you're setting your quarterly goals on those input goals. Like, okay, so if I want to ultimately get 10 podcast guests, that means I need to pitch 50 podcast shows this year. So that makes it a lot more quantifiable. And then you're even able to figure out how you're using your time wisely because you know how long each pitch will take you. So it just makes things a lot more streamlined and not as abstract. And I really think that's where the empowerment piece of setting goals and the strategy comes into play.
Yeah. And one of the things that we'll get into in another episode in a couple weeks or so is really auditing your lead sources. So this, if the idea of 10,000 views, like immediately stresses you out, having a good understanding or at least approaching it with confidence, knowing that your lead sources are the ones that are actually converting for you. Like, I know social does really well for me. Why I avoid it and why I resist it is a little self-sabotage that I like to throw in there for fun. But one of those things that if I was like, oh, I'm gonna approach my 10,000 views from TikTok. I don't do TikTok. So it's one of those that would be working against the system that I have a little bit more confidence in. So just making sure that go into it with a little bit of understanding of what's working currently for you and then lean into that as well. What is the next way to gamify your reach?
I just think that one, knowing, like you said, which platforms are going well for you. But another way is, so if I think, I know your social media goes pretty well. I was like actually looking at your reels and you got 4,000 views the other day. I was like, go off, Rachel. But if your Instagram maybe is not reaching that many people, I think just leaning into experimenting with different platforms. One of the ways that had been really successful, or maybe you're not into social media and you don't want to be posting reels, is just going into like different Facebook groups that already have a good established members or joining those community groups so that you can just get yourself out there. I think if you are struggling to have leads in your business, book discovery calls, then this should be your like number one tactic, is leaning into just creating more impressions. So I think we called it views later, but like those 10,000 views, if you think about like impressions, so 10,000 people getting to see you and your brand and the knowledge and your expertise is really what we're trying to get to. And there's a bunch of different avenues that you can explore and get there. And like Rachel said, really making sure that you're looking at your analytics first and knowing like what to lean into first is the way to go.
Are you experimenting with any new
Instagram? Like I'm experimenting with actually being consistent on Instagram, because I think my Instagram creation, I don't know, I'm still not completely convinced it works for my business. We'll see. I think it'll work with my digital products more, which is why I'm like leaning into it more. But yeah, so I'm experimenting with actually being consistent. I do TikTok, but I don't know if with everything that's going on with TikTok and possibly getting banned and like TikTok shop and all the music getting removed, just doesn't make it seem like a stable platform for me to invest limited time and energy and resources that I do have. Now, if I have content that would do well, like over there, like organically, then I'll just throw it into my scheduler. But the content that I'm creating right now is more for Instagram.
Yeah, I'm tapping into Threads a little bit more. But as an introvert, I'm like, I don't have concise enough thoughts for this.
I'm way too long-winded for Threads. I think as a small business owner, that is okay. I think having one platform and really focusing on that one platform, and then when it starts to pop off and you're getting the clients and you have additional revenue coming into your business, then explore a different platform, because then you can outsource that other platform or outsource the platform that you've already mastered. It can be very tempting to try to like reuse and repurpose and sprinkle yourself everywhere. But the thing about social media is that you have to engage on that platform for your post and your content to be successful. So if you're signing up to put your stuff on 80 different platforms, then you need to be engaging in 80 different platforms. And we always go back to capacity too, just gauging, is it really worth it? So totally. We're gonna go all in this quarter. I'm stating it right here. Me and Rachel are gonna have a dual quarterly planning session, but we're going all in on Instagram experiment this yeah. just Instagram this quarter. And then we'll figure it out.
Figure it out. We'll all right. What is the last strategy we have to get scrappy and turn up the heat on your marketing?
Oh, that's me. That's you. I think it's so important to just tap into what you already have and what is working. So your network, if you haven't reached out to other adjacent business owners, make sure that they know that you are available and open to either collaborate with them, work with them, be guest on each other's channels, ask them if they have any referrals. I see a lot of them popping up right now because I think people are just like craving connection, but different just like group. One of the group things that I started attending is this group called Networking for People Who Hate Networking, and they have a call every month. So it's like a bunch of introverts, a quiet call. No, but it's good because you go in with the ask of just sharing like what you're doing in your business, and you'd be surprised to see maybe the people that are there don't have a need for what you're selling, but they know somebody else who could use your services.
Yeah, I always do this with the people who I know have also very similar ideal clients as me. I will just do a monthly or quarterly touch base to remind them of some of my referral bonuses. And anybody that refers like an e-com client to me gets like a $500 kickback. It doesn't matter if you're an existing client or just someone on the street that knows someone that needs email marketing support for e-com. Like, they always get that $500 referral. So I'm constantly having conversations with people who would align with my ideal clients and be like, hey, do you want $500? Just refer your client to me. Yeah. And so really making sure that you're not afraid to make that ask and those connections, like that network is so impactful. They do not have to be existing clients or past clients. They can easily just be like this whole podcast. This whole podcast started because Jess and I were constantly like, hey, we need to do something together. Like, we both have shared expertise that can feed off of each other really well. It was like a workshop that we thought about first, and it was a digital product. And then the podcast came to life. And so really just not being afraid to build a network and be part of people's communities, because you never know what can come out of it.
Yes. Yeah. And then the last way of getting scrappy that we're going to talk about is referrals from your clients. So I think this is, if you're providing a great service, this is one of the easiest ways to bring in aligned clients, because typically your clients will have people that are aligned with you. And so I think reaching out to these past clients on a regular basis and just checking in with them, how are you doing? And then letting them know, I'm currently taking new clients. If you know anyone, you could offer some sort of referral bonus. So a lot of my dietitian clients will offer like a 30-minute like recorded like test review or something like that. That's always been a word I can't say. Incentivize? We don't know.
Incentivize.
Yeah. There's certain words that just don't, my mouth doesn't do. And that's one of them. But to get other clients to refer you to their clients. And most of the time they're happy to do it. If you've gained a great service, they want to help you out. So don't forget to check in with those guys regularly as well.
Do you have a referral bonus?
I do have a referral bonus. They actually, my current clients will get, I think they get like 10% of what ever like off their services. And then I wanted to create something like you have. I think you're offering like the $500 referral bonus, but I need to get a little more optimized with that approach. But yeah, my current clients, definitely I'll email them, and that's the way that I get pretty much all my current roster of clients is through referral.
Love that. Let's do a little bit of a recap for some of the scrappy strategies to help boost your sales when things are a little slow. So people might still be dragging a little bit from Q1, but as we enter into Q2, I really encourage to try a few of these scrappy efforts, put your hands in a few different pots so that you can ignite and plant all of these different seeds and stuff. So first one is get in front of new audiences, pitching, podcast tours, audience borrowing, really powerful stuff if you do it consistently. Next one is gamifying your reach, really understanding how to work backwards from your end goal so that you can take the emotion out of it and approach it in a very systematic kind of analytical way. Experimenting with new social networks, really tapping into things that maybe you want to get into, like Instagram for us a little bit more consistently, Facebook groups, business groups, things along those ends, just embracing the system. And then finally is tapping into the tools that you already have, your network, your past clients, referrals, things along those ends to really make sure that you can put all of the low-hanging fruit available to you, take advantage of it. Did I miss anything? Am I good there?
No, I love that. Just remember, as an entrepreneur, it comes with so much power. You have the power to create your own schedule, to create flexibility. But with that power also comes the responsibility of bringing in these sales and bringing in your money. And this episode has all just been about tapping into that power and putting yourself back into that seat where you can manifest what you want in your business and try out some of these tactics that we shared with you. So we hope you found this episode helpful. If you did, make sure you share it with a biz bestie, especially if they're going to a slow period. We want to make sure that this message reaches them. And then make sure that you follow the podcast. If you're not doing it already, we have lots of great episodes lined up for you. And then next week, we're going to be talking about more about just marketing, because we know that the business landscape is a little tough out there. So we really want to lean into sales and marketing and get some money into your pockets. So we're going to be talking about how to simplify your marketing through systems. That way you can easily balance your client work with also your business development work. We hope you tune in till next week. And until then,
we're rooting for you.